This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Very serious.
Welcome to the show. Chris Flannery. Joey Noe. Not saying anything. Matt Weiss.
Hello, Chris.
How's it going, guys?
Fantastic.
A little different start, yeah?
It's different.
People like it. Maybe they won't. I don't know. You let me know. Welcome to the show. We got a nice one lined up here today. Weed legalization in Canada. Happy 420, everybody, by the way. I know it's a day late if you're listening to it, but that's okay. You can still partake today, whatever you want to do.
That's the point of legalization. You can partake any day.
I have a very nice tweet that I'm going to read in a minute. I got had a little interaction with Dr. Jill Stein on the Twitter.
Ooh, Dr. Jill.
Bill O'Reilly is out at Fox News, and we're going to talk about it.
Saying ain't so.
Yeah. End of an era. A little sad. Big Sweet Tommy Lahren update. North Korea and a Moab update, which we're going to talk about. Plus, the Charging Bull statue versus the Fearless Girl statue. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, Samsonites or you two in the room, but we're going to get into it in a little bit. I think it's going to be a fun conversation.
Wall Street, baby. Wall Street.
Okay, weird thing to say. Mike Pompeo versus Julian Assange. Very interesting argument. This is something we keep talking about, WikiLeaks as a dividing line. How you feel about WikiLeaks is kind of how you interpret what is going on in the world, in my opinion. And we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. Also, we got a Trump odds and ends. It's a quick one. And I think we're going to close the show, Joey, as per your request. Mm-hmm. In honor of our fallen friend, we're going to play a classic Bill O'Reilly clip. Probably one of the greatest clips in the history of YouTube, clippery.
Clippery?
Yeah. You know, I think people are going to enjoy it. So we're going to do that at the end of the show. Let me say this at the top of the show. Last week's episode, MSP 123, I got a couple of questions, complaints about, hey, what happened to the episode? Like, is the episode out this week? And I was like, yeah, of course. What do you mean? Of course.
No,
people
happened?
Were listening to it. I got the listens. People were commenting. I don't know. There was some kind of RSS issue between SoundCloud and iTunes. Oh, by the way, it's not called iTunes anymore. It's called Apple Podcasts. They rebranded.
Already?
Yeah. So when you say subscribe on iTunes, no, subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
I think they should have just left it iTunes.
Well, that's none of my business.
Do I talk to about that? Steve's dead, right? I can't talk to him about
it. Yeah, go have to do a seance. Talk to him.
Oh my God, can we do a seance?
No. So anyway, what the fuck was I saying? Well, there was some kind of issue with the RSS feed. Taken care of. The episode is up there. Some people got to it because I guess they listened to it on SoundCloud, but it's up on iTunes and you can go check that out. Thank you to people that subscribed on Apple Podcasts and left a nice comment and a rating and a review. We really appreciate it. Maintaining that perfect 5-star.
Why haven't I heard about this rebranding? Is it like yesterday rebranded?
Because, yeah, it happened this week. You don't work in the podcast biz, do you?
They didn't consult you, Joey.
Yeah.
Bastards.
I got an email from my company being like, hey, stop calling it iTunes. They changed it to Apple Podcasts. I think they're going to be doing more. Like, I think they're renewing their focus on podcasting is why they're doing that. So we'll see. But anyway.
So is iTunes going to be one of those things where you can just...
Apple Podcasts,
is it going to be one of those things where you can tell someone's age by if they still call it iTunes? Like, oh, that you call it Frigidaire? How old are you?
Right. Yeah, maybe. Yes.
What if it never takes off? And like everyone just comes together and continuously just calls it iTunes?
I think they're running the risk. I think you're right. I think it's been called iTunes for so long that it's going to be tough.
It's just a good brand. Why?
I don't know. They want to change. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Aren't they losing value in changing the brand name?
That would be like changing Kleenex. You just don't do it.
Well, no, yeah. I guess it's not the same because they still have iTunes for music and shit. It's just, I think it's, I don't know how they're doing
so
it.
So just,
they didn't ask me. They just, I found out.
So it's not eliminating iTunes. It's just branching off for the podcast.
I think I believe that's what's happening.
That's probably, that's so, not losing value. You're just trying to create new value.
Yeah, correct. Right. So anyway, Apple Podcasts is what it's called now. So if you want to go on there and leave a comment, whatever, we'd appreciate it. We talked about it last week. I said when the apocalypse hits, I'm going to go full killer. I'm not going to screw around at all.
No, it's full murderer.
Full murderer, whatever. Just my general attitude is going to be kill. So people responded with what their apocalypse weapons would be. And I figured I'd share it on the show. You Millionaire said that he would have the Iron Man suit, which...
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
But I told him, I don't know if that counts.
What do you mean if it doesn't
count? It's not a weapon. It's a armor. Not really what we're talking about.
It's got multiple weapons. I mean, that's like, oh, if I can wrap myself in a battleship, I'll take that.
Exactly, right. It's a good call. I don't think that counts.
You'd be unstoppable.
Joey, do you think it counts?
It counts.
Matt?
I think it's also not a real technology, a real weapon. So.
Well, that's immaterial.
Neither is the apocalypse. I hope.
Well,
please never happen.
We're closer to the apocalypse than Iron Man.
Alexis says that she would use an AK-47 or a bazooka. I think the AK-47 is your only option there, Alexis, because the bazooka is unwieldy. You know, it's huge.
That's heavy.
And AK-47, you can hit your target properly. You can take out a zombie with the AK-47. You're probably going to miss with the bazooka.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the bazooka, here's the thing. Bazooka, you set up shop somewhere and just have the bazooka, you know, stationed there. And then you can shoot it at whatever, but to get a little bit too
real world, then you can't actually fire it indoors because the shockwave will kind of...
You do it in your yard.
How many do you get? Do you get one shell or do you get like seven shells?
I'm looking at it as like unlimited. You have a bazooka, you know.
You see, I think...
How are you going to ship all that around?
I'd rather a mortar than a bazooka, I think.
All right, well, bring it up with Alexis. What do you want me to say? Corey Custard, who hates you two.
Nice.
As a big fan of me. I think he had the winner. He says Halo Energy Sword.
Oh god, that's
which
awesome.
I agree. If I can go around melee people, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Didn't you used to be able to dual wield?
Yes.
Yes. They should bring that back. You got the SMG, the needler, and a fucking an energy sword. Go around, beat the shit out of people. All right. Anyway, so you guys let me know if you have any other ideas for apocalypse weapons, but I think we covered it. Now, first topic I want to get into. We got a good show lined up here. Last week, and again, it's 4:20 when we're recording, so. Felt like it was a good time to bring this up. Last week, Canada's Liberal Party put forth two bills aimed at regulating recreational marijuana use by July of 2018. The bills would allow you to have four plants for households, per households, right? You can have four plants growing in your house, which is, Joey's like, is that enough? It's plenty.
It's plenty?
Yeah, you're good.
And Chris, when Chris answered that, a smile brightened his face. It's plenty.
It's plenty, man. You just keep going. 30 grams for personal use to carry around. So, I mean, that's a lot. 28 is an ounce. So you're not going to smoke an ounce. What are you going to smoke, an ounce a day? You can walk around with 30 grams. That's plenty. Plenty. Plus your four plants at home, you're in good shape. Divides legislation between the federal and provincial governments. Ottawa will regulate production, including licensing, producers, and quality control. The provinces will handle distribution and sales. 18-year-old minimum... age to buy. And I got a couple of quotes in the email. It's good for Canada, man. They just continue to get better and better. You're from Canada, right?
I went to school in Canada. I'm not from there, but...
Nice people.
I got dual citizenship in case shit.
I don't know why you're here. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I was thinking about this yesterday when I was reading this. I was like, Matt should just leave. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Go to Canada. They got they're going to have legal weed. Great hockey. People are nice. You get health care. I don't know why you're not there.
I just don't smoke that much weed. I'm just not...
You should start. Bill Blair, who is the Liberal MP and former Toronto police chief leading the legalization effort, says, despite decades of criminal prohibition. Why don't you read it, Matt, as a Canadian? Yeah.
Despite decades of criminal prohibition.
This is what I imagine everybody looks and sounds like in Canada, Matt.
I mean, I do have a good beard and I wear a lot of flannel.
You're very Canadian, yeah.
I don't say A enough, though. I used to criticize my friends for that all the time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
A boot.
It's more a boat than a boot.
Okay.
Canadians, including 21% of our youth and 30% of young adults, contribute to use cannabis at among the highest rates in the world, eh? The proposed legislation, which is introduced today, seeks to legalize, strictly regulate, and restrict access to cannabis.
Right. So he's already said, he's like, listen, everybody's fucking already smoking it. We might as well make a little tax money on it and just regulate the shit. True.
$5 billion to $7 billion. It's a lot of money.
In terms of what they could pull in.
Yeah, annually pull in. And not to mention, it would stop diverging resources to tracking down so-called criminals.
Right, which is $2 to $3 billion there.
Yeah.
Ralph Goodale, funny Canadian name, Canada's public safety minister, he says, if your objective is to protect public health and safety and keep cannabis out of the hands of minors and stop the flow of profits to organized crime, then the law as it stands today has been an abject failure. Police forces spend between $2 billion and $3 billion every year trying to deal with cannabis, and yet Canadian teenagers are among the heaviest users in the Western world. We simply have to do better. Existing laws and prohibiting possession of cannabis remain in place, and they need to be respected. This must be an orderly transition. It is not a free-for-all. Okay. All right.
The country in the Western world that smokes more weed, and they also happen to have a reputation for being happier. Coincidence?
Yeah,
I think not.
The most polite, happy country, right? Just generally.
But there was one main issue that we have to talk about, and what? That's the drugged driving.
Yeah, I mean, listen, people drive drunk, too. People drive with, if they have a couple of drinks, just because they're not legally impaired, it's still fucking them up. You shouldn't, listen, smoke. If you're smoking it, you smoke a joint, wait an hour and a half before you drive. You smoke a blunt, wait a cup, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. If you fucking eat
something,
you have
a graph showing
that? You shouldn't be driving
that?
For, like, 8 hours. You really shouldn't. But I'll tell you what, it's not impossible. It's way easier to drive high than it is drunk, obviously. You're more likely, if you're high when you're driving, to be like...
extra cautious.
10 and 2, yeah, obey the law. You might drive a little slower. You're not going to be crazy. If you feel like you're going to pass out or something, pull over.
But
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the issue with that is the legal issue of you can't test if you're high. So
well, right.
It's still illegal. You have to recognize that, and you can't test it, so... I mean, alcohol, you can just do a breathalyzer and alcohol shows up.
Right. Well, yeah, but they were saying you could do a saliva test.
The
saliva test, yeah. You can figure it out based on how, I guess they can figure out how long it's been since you smoked.
And this is how we end up licking the cops.
Yeah.
So now, like, Ottawa's going to regulate the production.
Ottawa.
And as you know, they're not going to be able
Calgary?
To market.
Oh, God, that just hurt me deeply.
Why? That's how I like to say it.
They're not going to be able to market to children.
What do you mean they're not going to be able to market to them? What do you mean?
Well, my question is, how would you market marijuana to children?
You shouldn't be.
I know you shouldn't be, but do you have like a Camel smoking like an extra
well, let's say
thick
this.
Cigarette?
Well, let's say this. You don't have to market weed to kids, because kids are going to see everybody happy and they're going to be like, I want to
be
smoke
happy.
Some weed. Right. Plus, weed in and of itself is sort of just a happy drug to begin with. Like, it's brownies and lollipops and different shit like that. Like, that's what weed is. So, like, naturally, kids are going to... I don't know why you're trying to get me to... get kids to get high all the time. I don't think you should really smoke before 18 is a good number because your brain's developing. Yeah, I really don't think I didn't smoke until I was 20. It was the first time I smoked.
But Joey wants to really market towards these kids. He's trying to start them young.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, it's what's it gonna do? It's gonna affect their memory, maybe. They'll be fine.
Maybe
suck it up.
Maybe motivation.
Yeah, I guess.
Because what I'm thinking about doing is starting my own business.
Mm-hmm.
Calling it Joey's Smokehouse.
Okay.
Putting it right on the border.
Right.
Because 400,000 people travel between the border.
I don't know if they're going
to
let you
can
do
all
it.
Come to my place.
You see, Joey's Smokehouse to me just sounds like a great barbecue.
He could do both.
You could do both.
And you should. We came up, this is a long time ago, the Wake and Bake Hotel.
Yes.
Which you do in California, I was thinking, right? Put a little joint on your pillow in the morning. It's like a very smoke-friendly environment. You do breakfast all day, that type of thing. It'll be fun. I think this whole thing's going to revolutionize the world, you know? Legalize it, Canada. They'd be the first industrial country, the first G7 country to legalize it completely.
How big is this plant? Is it like 10-foot plant? Is it like a 3-foot plant?
Doesn't seem like they have any restrictions on that. I mean, I don't know if it's going to depend on how they break it down, whether you can grow it. You're not going to really grow it outside, probably, because the weather gets shitty in Canada. But if you grow it in your basement or whatever... you know, somewhere in your... I mean, you don't have to hide it. You can grow it in your house.
No.
You could have a pretty fucking big tree, I would assume.
because I'm sorry, because all I'm thinking about right now is genetically altering a plant. It'd be kind
of
like Swamp Thing, and then you just start smoking Swamp Thing all
absolutely.
The time.
Little Shop of Horrors. Do me a favor. Can you just Google how much, like, a one average marijuana plant yields in terms of pounds or ounces, whatever? We'll look
that
up.
That can't be pounds.
Now, so listen to this. So you ready? This is my exciting... incident from today.
Uh-huh.
So Jill Stein, Dr. Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate for president, who I voted for, we've talked about, she tweeted, she's been tweeting a lot all day. She goes, happy 420. First of all, by the way, Jill Stein uses a lot of emojis and whatnot. Her username is Dr. Jill Stein, and then it's just a sunflower emoji after that.
How old is she again?
She's probably in her 50s, I bet.
Okay.
I guess. Happy 420. There's a little cloud of smoke. Remember, hashtag marijuana is dangerous because it's illegal. Then a tree, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag National Weed Day. So I quoted her tweet and I wrote, this is who I voted for. Trump and Hillary want war with Syria. Jill wants you to roll one up and watch nature documentaries. And guess what?
She liked it.
Yeah, Dr. Jill Stein liked my tweet.
So nature documentaries, they're good.
Absolutely. You watch Frozen Planet, watch a little whatever. I'm just giving you good advice. It's fun.
That's the one you're going to go with, Frozen Planet?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Kitty Cats or maybe...
Kitty Cats?
Like what, a monkey a documentary? Or something.
Well, let me tell you this, actually. You know what? You're right. Here's another two really good documentary recommendations if you feel like celebrating. Baraka was shot in like 90-something.
Okay.
Or Samsara. There's these two documentaries. No words. It's just music and visuals.
Oh, cool.
2 hours at a time. High definition. They go around the world to like different parts of the world and they just film different cultures and different things. It's unbelievable. Really, 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 truly terrific. You should definitely check it out.
You want to know what was huge for a little bit? The thing that like does Discovery Channel used to have, the Manicat Mally rally.
Hmm?
Manicats?
I don't know.
Manicats?
Oh, Meerkat Manor.
Yeah. Meerkats.
Meerkat Manor, here's why I didn't like it. It was too produced. If they were just showing the meerkats and once in a while have somebody be like, oh, we're going to go get some chicken, you know, and just have little meerkats around, fine. But it was too, like when you're, I felt like when you were stoned, it was too much to, they tried to make it too much to follow. It wasn't fun. Okay. Just show me the cats. They're cute. I get what they're doing. They pop up with their little heads and they look around. It's fun. I'd watch that. But that's why I like A Frozen Planet, because you got, now in America, Alec Baldwin does the voiceover.
Oh, that's awesome.
In England for the BBC.
Who is it?
David Attenborough. Which, well, I prefer. David Attenborough. He's dead now, rest in peace. But he's the one that like does, produces all these documentaries. And The Beautiful Humpback Whale. And he's
doing, oh, is that guy?
Yeah, that's what you want to hear. You don't want to hear, you know, Jack Donaghy.
And he was actually the brother of the old guy in Jurassic Park.
Yes, absolutely. I just found that out, yeah. What's his name?
Richard Attenborough.
Richard Attenborough, yeah.
Oh, good God, really?
Yeah.
Is that crazy? They look very similar. What's up with this? What kind of yield are we talking about here?
So, I mean, it very much depends on the lighting.
Okay.
But it looks like you can expect reasonably, with good lighting, 5 ounces per plant.
Oh, so perfect. So, okay, so you have 4 plants. That's 20. 5 ounces, you said?
That's terrific. I'm seeing anywhere from 1.25 to 5 ounces.
Yeah, so say
is
it's
that
2 ounces.
Ounces a year, or is it ounces for the whole life of the
no,
thing?
No. That's the thing. See, there's another thing about cannabis that people don't pay attention to, and hemp especially. Hemp is a thing that's non-psychoactive. It doesn't have THC in it, but yet it's still something that's been banned in the United States. Hemp is a great insulator. It holds heat. It, you know, holds cold. You know, it's
you
very
can make
good.
Clothing.
Yeah, you can make clothing out of it. Whatever. Non-psychoactive. And you can replenish the crop in like 2 months. You can just keep turning it over. It's a very durable plant. Same thing with this. So if you harvest, so say it's 3 ounces a plant.
Uh-huh.
That's 12 ounces. You're not going to smoke. Unless you're an absolute psycho, you're not going to smoke 12 ounces in 2-3 months it takes to, you know,
that'd be impressive.
Repollinate the plant, you know? Plus, are they really going to be, what are they going to knock? The Mounties are going to show up and fucking knock on your door. How many plants you got, eh?
Recheck time.
Yeah, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to do it. So anyway, but good for you, Canada, and we'll see what happens. And then obviously Canada, the tourism is just going to through the roof, right?
BC is going to do well. Vancouver is in for.
Yeah, Big Pop's going on a hockey tour, I'm telling you.
Forget the visitors. Everyone's going to set up shop and live in Canada. It's going to have a migration boom.
Yeah, but you know what? Canada is smart. They don't just let anybody in. They're like, oh, you have a felony? You can't. No. They're not into it. They're like, oh, you're an asshole? Nah, just stay in Michigan.
I'm pretty sure immigration policy is more, oh, you have a good degree? Come here. Oh, you're going to contribute to society? Come here.
Right.
Like, they have a very progressive immigration policy.
Absolutely, yeah. Canada's doing it right. And, and this is further proof of that.
Why am I living here?
What am I doing with my life? I don't know what you're doing. It doesn't make any sense. All right, so... Happy 420, or really 421, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The day after, still smoke. And good job, Canada. Now, next thing I want to get to, sweet Bill O'Reilly. I will remember you.
20 years of service?
Yeah, end of an era. After 21 years at Fox News, Bill, the curmudgeon O'Reilly, has been released in the wake of numerous sexual assault allegations. Got a couple of quotes in the old email here. 21st Century Fox, which is obviously the parent company of Fox News Channel, says, After a thorough and careful review of the allegations. That's corporations. After a thorough and careful review of the allegations, the company and Bill O'Reilly have agreed that Bill O'Reilly will not be returning to the Fox News channel.
It's Rupert Murdoch. Shouldn't it be an Australian corporation?
I don't know if I can do it.
Damn,
I was really hoping for that.
After a thorough and careful review, I can't do it. Bill O'Reilly had this to say. He said, over the past 20 years at Fox News, I've been extremely proud to launch and lead one of the most successful news programs in history, which has consistently informed and entertained millions of Americans and significantly contributed to building Fox into the dominant news network in television. It is tremendously disheartening that we part ways due to completely unfounded claims. But this is the unfortunate reality many of us in the public eye must live with today. Okay. Well, listen, I gotta say, Bill O'Reilly probably sexually harassed a lot of women. I haven't been following the story. I don't really know any of the allegations, but he's paid out somewhere in the vicinity of $13 million in damages. So,
my favorite thing that I've heard about this is he referred to an African-American woman.
Yeah, it's hot chocolate.
That's hot chocolate.
That, to me...
That's pretty cool.
It's a compliment, right? Yeah. That's not a big deal. She probably didn't like it because he's a creepy idiot, but, you know.
I'll be honest with you. I would love a hot, tall glass of hot chocolate.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. No question about it. Yeah. A little caramel latte. I'll grab it by the... Trump, relax. God damn it.
But Trump's coming to his side, though, saying that, you know what? I don't think he did anything.
There's an excellent GIF going around. I don't know if people have seen it, but... It's Trump and O'Reilly at a baseball game, and the crowd's doing the wave around them, and O'Reilly literally like kind of rolls his eyes and raises one finger, and then Trump just goes, after it goes past him. It's just a very funny, it's a funny gif. I'm sure you can find it. All right. By the way, can I make this point?
Yes.
Right-wingers and like conservative media always want to go back to the way things were, you know, like back when America was great, you know? Yeah, they want to go back to the 1950s when you could like smack a chick on the ass and call her hot chocolate in the workplace. You know what I mean? Like, they have that. They've created that culture.
The good old days of Joseph McCarthy, when everyone was happy.
Listen, I would kill both of you to go back and live in the Mad Men era. White men did
great.
Don't
be killing me.
No, it's fine. It's bad. It's bad news for everybody else.
I'm Jewish. I wouldn't do so hot.
They hired Ginsburg at Sterling Cooper Draper Price.
Yeah, but they still bring up the fact
that they brought him on for the Manischewitz campaign.
Speaking of firms, the lawyer, which is from... The Castlewick Spanson Taurus.
What?
I didn't catch a word of that.
The lawyer.
Joey sometimes
Bill
just
O'Reilly.
Says crazy things. He's like, no. He's from the Castle Santeris Fogus. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's
the lawyer for Bill O'Reilly, Mark E. Kazowicz.
Okay.
Is of Kazowicz Spanson Taurus. That's the name of the firm. So I was trying to segue into the firm, and this is what he had to say.
All right.
This law firm has uncovered evidence that the smear campaign is being orchestrated by far-left organizations bent on destroying Mr. O'Reilly for political and financial reasons.
Name them!
That evidence would be put forth shortly and is irrefutable.
I mean, does that really sound right?
Yes, it does.
You think that Bill O'Reilly is a perfect gentleman?
It's all the snowflakes. They're just coming together to go against Bill.
All these women are just making stuff up.
If
now, why would they have waited this long? You know what I mean?
That's the media. It's the MySpace phenomenon.
But why is he paid out all this money if he didn't do it? But he's just like, I'm not going to do it.
Secret children.
I mean, you can't take the fact that a settlement happened as an admission of guilt. I mean, that's the entirety of a settlement. But at the end of the day.
You know what? I don't accept that then.
I think the most damning thing. The most damning thing is that Rupert Murdoch loves this guy. He would not cut him loose unless it was. He knew that it was just.
I think Murdoch doesn't give a shit anymore, if I'm being honest. He's sort of, no, really, after Ailes and whatever, he's married to a much younger woman who's very liberal, I've read. Like, he doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Murdoch still doesn't have the 30 or 40 years of life left, despite being in his mid-80s. He still wants to rule the world and have his
Well, he's on the Dick
empire.
Cheney diet. Yeah, but you know what, though? He doesn't have to rule the world by controlling Fox. Fox is doing great. Fox is making money for him, so it doesn't really matter. They just merged Sky and Fox in the UK. So
no, they didn't.
Yeah, so he
So which did it become, Fox or Sky?
I think it's St. Sky. But in any event, Murdoch controls a massive media empire. He doesn't need to do it all through Fox. He could do it around the globe, and then Fox will pick up those stories. You know what I mean? Like, he has enough influence around the world that he, at this point, it's like, whatever, just let O'Reilly go. Plus, they're putting on the bow-tied idiot Tucker Carlson in his spot. Okay. They're moving the 5 to, like, 9 o'clock or something. They're going to do better with this.
No, I mean, no, Bill O'Reilly. Yeah, they are. Bill O'Reilly was very popular, so if they had any way to keep him around, they gladly would have, because he has a strong following. He has a very strong following.
He just hit 4 million viewers at the beginning of the year, which is a record.
It's amazing.
4 million people.
That's what you get for not, like, when you're just being entertainment. You're not trying to be newsy. You're just being entertaining.
He was the Keith Olbermann of the right. He's that strong voice. It's fun to listen to him talk.
I wouldn't make exactly that equivalent. But sure.
Keith Olbermann didn't leave the company because he was out molesting people. He left the company because he was morally conflicted. Big difference.
Well, I mean, Olbermann has left a lot of places because he's difficult to work with.
Yes, I'm not saying he's a good person necessarily.
No, I'm not saying he's a bad person. He's just difficult to work with.
Yes.
Well, also, it also comes to the point where
Tommy, we're about to get to.
It is a business, and there's only so much you can speak against it. You know what I mean? Because you're supposed to be representing the brand. Like, Olbermann, at one point, I was pretty sure was bashing.
For sure.
And it becomes a certain line when that person's signing you a paycheck. So you can't be bashing them to the extent he was.
Right. I got to be honest. I did meet Keith Olbermann. He was up here for one of the other podcasts. Very nice. Took a picture. He is doing his thing at GQ now, where it's like, I think he's doing it pretty daily. Like, I see his videos.
Magazine
going
GQ.
I just watched one the other day that was pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I admittedly I haven't really watched them, but I do like Keith Olbermann. He can go overboard, but I it's fun. I like his style, you know?
Yeah.
But I haven't been watching it. Anyway, all right. Farewell, Bill O'Reilly. It'll be interesting. What do you guys think O'Reilly, what is he going to do? He's going to ride off into the sunset? He's going to try to get something else?
He's going to replace Tommy Lahren at the Blaze.
He's going to write a book about being falsely accused. He's going to call it Killing O'Reilly, and it's going to be huge.
Very good, Joey. Yes. Okay. All right, done. That's the end of that subject. Sweet Tommy, Glenn Beck and the Blaze have countersued Sweet Tommy on Monday, accusing her of bad off-camera behavior, inappropriate, unprofessional treatment of the crew, complained about lighting, studio temperature, and the way her shows were shot, edited, and directed, as well as turning down sponsors for seemingly no reason, according to Glenn Beck's countersuit. So shit's just heating up over there, and the Facebook page is apparently in question because the Blaze, like, we created that goddamn thing. She shouldn't be getting those 4 million people that are following her.
What is it with this 4 million number? Man, that seems to be the magic number.
Yeah, that's the amount they can get. That's the core audience, you know?
Joe, once you get 4 million followers, you can be successful.
That's not going to happen.
I wish I could have 4 million. God, that'd be fun. Then not even! 500,000!
Yeah, but how many of those 4.2 million are actually real people? I bet you those are all fucking bots. Tommy bots. That's what that is.
And Tommy's on 888.
Tommy bots. That's
Tommy bots.
And Tommy's on 888, so...
What?
Tommy isn't an 888 like you are. I mean...
That's true. She's an 888. I think me and Tommy, I think we play in the same ballpark.
I'm not sure she has the personality.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So she's an 887. all right. So anyway, that was just a quick update on Tommy Lahren. Now, the next thing I want to get to here, and this is something I've been thinking a lot about because people are asking me about North Korea. I'm reading a lot about North Korea, the dumb administration, a lot of lip service about North Korea. So we're going to talk about it. Now, on Sunday, North Korea attempted a missile launch, but it failed almost immediately. It blew up. The minute they launched it, it blew up. Remember that. Experts think that North Korea can hit the United States by 2026. We have time to do a Stuxnet attack. We have time to diplomatically put pressure on them through China.
Dude, we have enough time to actually do Star Wars and have it work.
Huh?
The Star Wars defense? You don't remember that?
The thing that Ronald Reagan believed was real but wasn't? Yeah. Right. I mean, look into that. For all the people who think Ronald Reagan was such a genius and a great president, he refused to cut funding for a program that didn't exist. But, okay.
Well, I mean, look at Iron Dome. Dumb. Iron Dome is doing interesting things in Israel. So
Nancy.
The Iron Dome in Israel is actually a working missile defense.
Super effective. 100%. Basically 98% effective.
Yeah. It's...
So let me say this, all right, before we get into any other stuff, and I do have a Moab update.
Don't rush this. Don't worry.
The Trump administration is putting pressure on, saying that we have to do something about North Korea. North Korea is a big threat, an imminent threat. War, you know, blah blah blah. We're sending our armada there, which we're going to get into that in a minute as well. Wait, can I just look at my sheet here? I feel like I maybe skipped something. Oh no, I got it. Okay, North Korea. Because I feel like I got caught up in this a little bit too. North Korea is always fucking up. They try to launch missiles, they blow up. They don't have the military they claim to have. It's all this propagandist nonsense, and they do not have the capability to really launch any kind of full-scale attack. They fuck up all the time. They don't have the weaponry. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the scientists to do it. Why all of a sudden, if experts are saying that they can't even come close to attacking the West Coast of the United States until 2026, maybe, that's if we don't fuck with them or something else happens, why all of a sudden are we doing all this saber rattling and trying to fuck with North Korea when the reality of the situation is we're minimum 9 years away from anything
happening?
You
want to know why?
Here.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because when you're a country and you have resources, you can buy a missile from another country.
They can't. They can't. We would notice that.
Yeah, selling to them is not going to happen.
You're not allowed. You can't do that. And that's not true.
And anything that goes through, anything that they get is going to have to go through China, and China doesn't want that to happen.
Right.
So
it, to me, it just seems like all of a sudden, conveniently, the media and whatever has forgotten that North Korea is completely incompetent, that they have never been able to do anything. It's really the truth.
So,
we'd have to defend Japan. We'd have to defend South Korea, but China's there. They're involved. Nothing's going to happen right now. And I think that this is a very Iraq war type of scenario where we're like, it's imminent. No, it's not. They've shown nothing to prove that they can actually launch any kind of attack.
I wouldn't entirely underestimate them. They do have one of the largest militaries in the world. They have a very
They have one of the
military.
Largest militaries in the world because they force every person in the country to be a part of the military.
Yeah, it's a bunch of people standing.
But if you grabbed 1,000 random people here and you're all in the military now, how many of them are going to be able to do anything?
Well, I mean, they do train, but the question is, what kind of equipment do they have? Are they using...
Right.
Are they still using Russian tanks from the 80s and
yes,
all that?
Definitely. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. So that's part of the issue.
A tank can't hurt us, though.
And also, I mentioned the Stuxnet thing. That was what the United States did to the Iranian nuclear program before the deal went through. Fucked that shit up for years. They couldn't. We could do that to North Korea, I'm sure.
But our CIA tools have all been made public.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I think we still probably have a few.
I mean, granted, they're still using computers in the 80s for the programs, I'm assuming.
Right.
So...
So, okay, so that's something I wanted to put out there. Now, I want to say that because people are concerned about it, I don't think you dismiss it, but I also don't think it's an imminent threat. I really don't.
So,
and it's not an imminent threat to the United States as a country. Our allies could be in danger, but
so
we'd be involved.
If you believe that, why do you think Mr. Obama left a note to Donald Trump that the most pressing issue is North Korea?
Is that true? Do we have that note? I've heard that, but I don't know.
I haven't even heard that.
I've heard that a few times, but I haven't really seen anything concrete about that. If somebody could Google it while we're talking about it. I don't know. I mean, he might believe that, again, long-term, it's an issue and it's something that needs to be dealt with because Kim Jong-un is obviously more unpredictable than his dad and his grandfather and whatever. And that the control of a country full of people that are really brainwashed and have been living in a horrific situation for decades, that's going to be an issue when you have to unwind that. But I don't think he meant like he's going to blow us up. I don't think that's if that's what I don't know. You found the note? You found something about this?
I found nothing about North Korea yet.
Okay, keep looking for that. I want to bring this up. So now we talked about it. Trump bombed Syria. He bombed Afghanistan, which we're going to get into in a minute. He's threatening war with North Korea. His approvals are up post-bombings. Daily Rasmussen poll, all right, which is an everyday poll, so obviously it changes quite a bit. But on Monday, he was at 50% approval, which is terrible. For us, it's good for Trump. And then the Gallup poll had him at 41% approval, which is a plus six. He was at 35%, so he's up plus six. That's why you do shit like that.
A 32-ton bomb only bought him 6 points?
That's plenty, man. He could drop a couple more of those. Oh, by the way, we're going to talk about that in a second because this has been underreported and it is one of the most troubling things that I can imagine about the Moab situation and how Trump is running this country. Before we get to that, I want to say this about North Korea. Trump and the gang claimed 2 weeks ago that the USS Carl Vinson, ascending an armada, was headed to the Korean Peninsula as a prudent show of force. However, on Tuesday, photos released by the U.S. Navy showed that the USS Carl Vinson moving away from Korea through Indonesia about 3,500 miles away. Apparently now it's headed to North Korea. But, okay, here's a quote Oh, by the way, Joey, who is Carl Vinson? I asked you to look it up.
Yes. I did do that. Let me just click to the correct page. Well, and
I'll give you,
you look for it, Matt.
So it does say that, or the New York Times did say that there was a note that, about that being the most urgent problem he would face. Nothing spectacular, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And man, you know what? It's not like Obama's infallible. I don't know. To
and
me,
also, Obama was, that was based on a knowledge Obama had then, not
right.
going forward.
And, right, we don't know what the situation is.
All right, so Carl Vinson. Born November 18th, 1983.
Okay.
Died June 1st, 1981. Was United States representative from Georgia.
Okay.
Democrat. Served more than 50 years.
Very good. All right.
Well,
what was that rule you were telling me about before we started the show?
I'll get to that in a second. So he was, at that point, the youngest member of Congress, 30 years old. He was sworn in 1914. So we're going way back. We're going pre-World War I now.
Right.
Okay. So from everything that I could surmise, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Stand-up guy. Happens to be segregationist.
Oh, boy.
How do you say that correctly?
Segregationist?
Yes.
So not really a stand-up guy.
Joey's an apologist for segregation?
Yeah.
Jim
Crow, bro.
1956, he signed the Southern Manifesto.
Oh, so this guy's a douchebag.
Yes. So the rule.
What a stand-up guy. A real stand-up guy.
Why did we name a goddamn battleship after this guy if he was a segregationist?
Well, he. Let's hit the vision rule.
Okay.
Which limited the number of questions a junior member of the committee could ask. One question per year of service on the committee. So if you just got to the committee,
right,
you can't even ask a question.
Right. You got to wait a year before you can ask a question. But how long
and
was
this
he on?
Dick,
yeah.
20 years, can ask 20 questions.
Yeah, he's like the fucking Riddler over there. Meanwhile, the junior members, they can't ask shit.
Can't ask shit.
All right, so that this is who we name our...
Now, but let me say this.
Okay.
Maybe we named the ship after him, which, by the way, doesn't usually happen for people who were still alive. He was 96 years old.
Right.
And he was there at the ceremony.
How did he feel about black people at that point?
I don't think they asked him that.
Oh, I would have been like, hey, before we name this aircraft carrier after you for like eternity, do you, water fountains, thoughts?
Well, I believe the reason the ship was actually named after him was just because he introduced a bill that was the largest increase in the size of the Navy in history.
During World War II, because Japan had all these
right. so
crazy
all
ships.
All is forgiven because of
and
the Nazis.
We can't.
Right?
So because
it was because of Japan, not
well,
the Nazis.
Well, you know what? I want to make a movement to rename this goddamn thing.
To the
I don't know.
USS greatest ship of all time?
Yeah, the USS Perfect Armada. The USS Perfect Armada. There you go. Here's a quote from this guy, Adam Mount, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He says, I think China is going to play a huge factor in what goes on in North Korea going forward. I think the Chinese are of two minds. There are some who see North Korea as a buffer against U.S. power, but others who see North Korea as a long-term threat to regional stability. There is a transition in China now towards seeing the DPRK as a threat to stability, but there will continue to be frequent backsliding and mixed messages because Chinese activity will reflect the fact that there are points of view different points of view in Beijing. So basically saying like China's going to be involved in this and there's a kind of a split as to whether North Korea should just be allowed to kind of do their thing as long as they're not attacking China or whether they actually view them as a real problem. So we'll see. But that requires a very delicate diplomatic touch, which I don't think this administration has. Meanwhile, getting rid of all the people at the State Department is probably not going to help as far as that's concerned either. But okay. What do I got here? Okay. No, wait, what the fuck? Oh, I got video of the White House press baby. Ready?
Oh, nice.
He's explaining what happened with the USS Carl Vinson, like why 2 weeks ago they said it was going one direction, but then it was actually going completely the other direction. I love this guy. This guy's a real gift from God. And I said it last week, why is Nancy Pelosi trying to get him to resign?
Like, yeah, just let him fuck
this
up.
This is who you want. Why wouldn't you want this guy here?
He's the voice of the administration. He's fucking up. He gives a bad voice, makes it so easy to spin shit.
He's a goose. It's so fun. All right, this is Press Baby Sean Spicer talking about The USS Carl Vinson.
The ship was not going the right
way. I love when the journal, like when they ask him questions, they're all just like so happy. They're like, hey, Sean.
Hey, John, I got a question.
Events that led people within this administration to believe the vessel was thousands of miles away from its actual location.
Well, I mean, Paycom put out a release talking about the group ultimately ending up in the Korean Peninsula. That's what it will do. I think we were asked very clearly about the use of a carrier group in terms of deterrence and foreign presence and what that meant. I think that's what we discussed. I would refer you back to any other issues with that to the Department of Defense.
Does the president believe that he might have spoken too quickly on this location of the vessel before it was actually arriving?
Said we have an armada going towards the peninsula. That's a fact. It happened. It is happening, rather. Yeah.
John, I just want to follow up on that.
I like that. It happened. I mean, it's happening because it didn't happen. We said it happened, but it's not. It's happening now. But okay.
Obviously, when the president of the United States says there's military hardware going to a region in the middle of a crisis on the Korean Peninsula, the allies of the United States are encouraged. When that happens to not be the case, they can interpret that is a false encouragement. So how is this White House explaining to South Korea and Japan that, in fact,
that
during the buildup and the actual DPRK initial launch, there was no USS Carl Vinson?
No,
yeah.
She said a false...
yeah.
A false...
What?
What did she say exactly?
A military force. She's saying, like, we're sending a show of force there.
No, but the what afterwards?
I don't know. Let me go back. Hold on.
Play it again.
Encouragement. So how is this White House explaining to South Korea and Japan that in fact...
I apologize to the Samsung.
Says there's military hardware going to a region in the middle of a crisis on the Korean Peninsula, the allies of the United States are encouraged. When that happens to not be the case, they can
interpret that as a false encouragement.
So how is
false encouragement. I like that.
False encouragement. During the buildup and the actual DPRK missile launch, there was no USS Carl Vinson.
Glad we went back and listened to it.
Respectfully, Jessica, I would ask you to either touch base with PACOM or the Department of Defense.
What happened to all the typing?
Was that the Carl Vinson group?
No, it just got like because they're switching between them. They're turning the mic down for the press corps, so they're writing down quotes. So when she's talking, you hear like in the background.
Headed to the Korean Peninsula. It is headed to the Korean Peninsula. It'll arrive there. What's that?
It's headed there now. It wasn't headed there last week.
No. But that's not what we ever said. We said that it was heading there, and it was heading.
We're sending an armada soon, a couple weeks.
And there it is heading there. So that remains.
Allies have.
If there's an impression, then that's
this guy
not...
has the worst job. It's just every day. It's like, well, we said that, but you know,
then there should have been clarification from people who were seeking it. PACOM put out a release talking about what its ultimate destination was going to be. And that's where it ended up.
He's not
going to
last
8 years.
Well, why did the administration never clarify? Because it definitely, the intent in media reports was that it was headed there now.
Before he comes in, they were like, all right, let's try to make him cry about the Carl Vinson thing. Let's see if we can get him to cry.
And now it's going to be there.
But that wasn't, with all due respect, that's not my... We were asked a question. I know. No, that's not true. What I was asked was what signal did it send that it was going there? And I answered that question correctly at the time, that it signaled foreign presence, strength, and a reassurance to our allies. That's a true statement. You're asking me why you didn't know better. I don't know. That's a question that should have been followed up with either PACOM or the Department of Defense. But the only question that we were asked was what signal it sends, and I think we answered that very correctly at the time.
I think it was a little misleading. No one found out about it until a picture was posted on a page.
What do you mean? What part is misleading? I'm trying to figure that out. We were asked a question about what signal it sent. We answered the question on what signal it sent. I'm not the one who commented on timing.
What's misleading is that people thought it was headed there now, and now it's going to be there weeks later. They thought it was already headed there.
I understand the question, right? But what I'm getting at is it was announced that it was going. It will be there. We were asked simply a question on that. I think all other questions should be asked of the Department of Defense.
Okay, poor guy.
You should have asked them to define now.
Yeah, right. Depends what your definition of now is.
Hypothetically, if we were to send it, it would signify this.
Right. It's so funny. I don't know why at once he can't just be like, yeah, I apologize. We made a mistake.
They don't make mistakes.
No, they don't. In other news, now, so moving away from the North Korea stuff, which obviously we're going to stay on, you know, stay on top of. According to the Afghan government, 90 ISIS militants were killed in East Afghanistan when the Moab was dropped last week. No U.S. military numbers yet. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common for Afghan officials or people in some of these war zones to go, yep, no civilian deaths here. Even if there were civilians. Well, they're saying 90 ISIS militants, no civilian deaths. Maybe. Right. It's easy for them to go, yeah, all ISIS, but it could have, who knows? There's no real way to know. And also, it hurts, like, you know, Afghan military people that are helping the United States to be like, yeah, no civilians here, because what do they care? You know what I mean? If they're around ISIS and they got killed, oh, well, that's kind of the attitude. We will assume for now that it was just ISIS that was killed until the U.S. numbers come out. But I got to assume some civilians were killed at some point. People that were 2 miles away in mm-hmm. Afghanistan from the blast site, their windows shattered.
Oh.
So somebody got killed, right? Somebody that wasn't ISIS got killed. I have to assume that.
Well, the beauty of a very big bomb is it vaporizes all the civilians. So you can't prove anything.
No, absolutely. 100%. Yes, absolutely. To that point, turns now this is what I was talking about. This is a very wild. Go ahead, Joey.
Wait, so how would you prove civilians died? If
you wouldn't really
in
be able
fact
to.
That they did get vaporized.
You'd have to get word of you know somebody missing, have to say people. Right. People are missing. Whatever.
People are missing, and then you would have to backtrack where they were and right. all that shit.
But who's going to be doing that work?
In the end.
Now this is wild. This is not good information. It turns out that General John Nicholson, who's the top U.S. commander on the ground there, gave the sole order to drop the bomb. Trump's approval was not needed. And I have a quote here from Trump. "We have given the military total authorization. Frankly, that's why they've been so successful lately." Trump, the president of the United States, this violates all conception of civilian control over the military. For Trump to just go, you go for it, do whatever you want, without him being involved, that's so out of bounds of how this whole thing was supposed to be set up. And to give the military that type of carte blanche and them go, oh, you know what we should do? We should drop the biggest bomb we have. That's crazy.
Wait.
And that should be getting way more coverage.
So the commander-in-chief of the entire United States Army.
Commander-in-chief, yeah.
Commander-in-chief
right.
told somebody under him to use anything you want.
Well, what he said, what he says in this quote is,
yeah, the quote.
"We've given the military total authorization. Frankly, that's why we've been so successful lately." So basically he said,
do whatever you want.
Yeah, do what you think you should do.
Well, and let's not forget that the problem here is supposed to be civilian control over the military. There was a waiver given to Mattis because the Secretary of Defense
right.
is required to be
right.
civilian.
Out for he 7 years, right.
Yeah, he was given a waiver to get in there.
Yes.
So both positions that are supposed to be the civilian oversight aren't civilian oversight.
100%. We said that when he was being confirmed. I was like, listen, I like Mattis probably of all the people
and
that he appointed.
He has been one of the better ones so far. He is
right. We talked about this then, but I was like, all right, I guess I could allow that to be the case. But they had to do it with Flynn also. Flynn is out now.
Hmm.
But right, this becomes a much different picture when Trump is like, we're just going to let them do it. We're going to let them do what they want. That's why we're winning. Yeah, great. But look what they did. They dropped it to me. Irresponsible 21,000. I mean, it's just crazy to use that type of weaponry. But meanwhile, it was called a proportional response and like the correct the correct ammunition. What are you, nuts?
But the civilian conscience is supposed to be the counterbalance to the military desire to always use force.
Absolutely. Listen, I was thinking about it this way. You know, in any like kids cartoon or any show, like a kid show,
mm-hmm.
anytime they're trying to figure out how to solve a problem, like there's always a kid that's like, you know, the one that like has the sword, the one that has the gun, the one that's good with fire, the one that's good with this. They always think that their thing is the thing that's going to solve the problem, right? Yeah. So when you tell the military, do what you think is right, what are they going to do?
A big bomb.
Yeah, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to think that the military is the only solution. They're not going to go, you know what? I think it's diplomatic. They're not going to do that. They're not going to punt it back to the State Department. They're going to go, okay, we got all these bombs and shit.
Yeah, we got it.
I think we can do this.
You know, we've had this for 14
years. The demolition
years.
Expert's going to want to demolish some shit.
When all you have
the spy, like when you watch The Avengers,
yes.
Does Thor think that the Hulk is the solution? No. He thinks he should hit it with his fucking dumb hammer.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yep.
When all you have is a hammer, the whole world is a nail.
Absolutely. And that's really what happens.
But the Hulk can't pick up the stupid hammer, though.
Well, right, but he
because the Hulk isn't a good enough person.
Mike. Okay, I'll talk to him in a minute. Hold on, let me just tell him we're recording. Recording now. Okay. So anyway, so that's a real serious situation.
Yes.
Oh, he goes, whoops, sorry. No problem, buddy. I don't know why that's not being talked about. Like, I haven't really heard that. I haven't, admittedly, I haven't watched a ton of, like, news lately. Like,
I've heard that. I guess.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like anybody's freaking out about that, which they should be.
President Trump has surrounded
What else can they do?
Listen, President Trump has surrounded himself with people that are more than qualified for their positions, and as qualified persons of those positions, they will make the correct decision.
No. No, because this has nothing to do with that. Nicholson might be completely qualified to be in the position he's in. The problem is the chain of command is commander-in-chief, then everybody else under him. When Trump is just going to abdicate that responsibility and not be the commander-in-chief, when he just lets the generals do what they want, the people that during the campaign didn't know what they were talking about and disagrees with them, now he's like, go for it. I got to go to Mar-a-Lago. Like, that's the issue. That's a serious issue. Because I want to know what else they are able to do without the president's authorization.
Fucking drones, bro. They're going to bring in the fucking drones.
No,
and
stop
it's game
doing
over.
That. Stop. You're being kooky. I'm trying to have a real conversation. I want to know what else they do.
I only discuss the military with a nice piece of succulent chocolate cake.
I've told you before. I'll say it again. Do not try to steal my thunder with the Trump voice. Well, let's close this segment out with this. This is a clip from Fox News.
Oh, God.
They come back. I think it's Fox and Friends. They come back from commercial showing the Moab bomb landing in Afghanistan with an interesting song that they chose to play over
and then they
make some comment. Did you see this?
I sent it to you.
You fucking did not send this to me.
I did too. It's the country store
singing over.
Oh, that's
right. You did. You're right.
So,
okay.
So tell the Samsonites that I found this.
Joey found this. I apologize. All right. I apologize. This is coming back from commercial on Fox News. Can you hear my freedom starter? Meanwhile, this is the bomb is happening right now. They're showing the military video. This is... brought to you courtesy
of the red, white, and blue. And that's what happens when a 21,000-pound bomb explodes in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region, where at least 36 ISIS fighters have lost their life.
That's right.
Welcome to the final hour of the week on Fox and Friends. And guess who's here? Do you recognize
Geraldo
him?
Rivera.
Geraldo,
my video is black and white.
Good morning.
That is what freedom looks like. That's the red, white, and blue.
Well, one of my favorite things in the 16 years I've been here at Fox News is watching bombs drop on bad guys.
What the fuck? That's okay. So that's what you're up against.
That's unbelievable.
That's what you're up against. That's what that Geraldo, that video is black and white, but. Man, it's red, white, and blue. God, that really makes me really excited. I love it.
You can just picture the bodies being vaporized.
Yeah. I mean, humanity, I haven't heard of it.
We fix it with a bomb.
Like, I'm not defending. Obviously, it's fine. ISIS fight it. Just kill them. It's fine. But overkill. And also, ridiculous that you're playing a god to the red, white, and blue while you watch shit explode. That's North Korea shit. That is propaganda shit.
Yes.
No, it's so obvious. It's so overtly what it is.
It's
like
normalization of violence too. It's just
yeah. It's just so crazy to me. It's really nuts. All right. The next thing I wanted to get into here. Now this is an interesting topic, and I hope you guys like did a little research about this shit. This is the Charging Bull statue versus the Fearless Girl statue. Now. A little background on this, people that are not from New York or whatever. On Wall Street, down on Wall Street, there is a bull, like an aggressive charging bull down there to obviously symbolize like a bull market versus a bear market. Wall Street wants the bull down there. And the charging bull was installed in 1989, was created by an Italian-born artist named Arturo Demotica, which is a very cool name. And in his own words, to symbolize freedom, world peace, strength, power, and love. Now, to him, obviously, capitalism, the idea of a free market, represented by the bull.
89 was a different year.
Yeah, well, whatever. But that's his vision of the whole thing. Now, the Fearless Girl statue was installed this year, was made by financial firm State Street Global Advisors, initially with the plaque, Know the Power of Women in Leadership, She, makes a difference. And she is capitalized. Why is she capitalized? Well, she, SHE, is actually an exchange traded fund offered by the State Street Global Advisors Group. And it's developed to track companies with greater levels of diversity, gender diversity in leadership. So something that's become a symbol kind of women, Pat, women are badass. Like, it's just it's really an advertisement for the State Street Global Advisors. It's just a commercial that they put down there. It's really not, in my opinion, representative of, you know, women empowerment and different things like that.
Does an artist have the right to limit another artist?
Well, we're going to get it. This is the conversation we're going to have. So now that's the context. Demotica came out the other day. He wants the statue taken down and he's seeking damages from the city. Meanwhile, the Fearless Girl statue the other day, Mayor de Blasio extended its permit through 2018. Now, here's a couple of quotes, and then we're going to get into a copyright law, and then we can have the conversation. Norman Siegel, who's Demotica's attorney, says, "The charging bull no longer carries a positive, optimistic message. Rather, it has been transformed into a negative force and a threat." He's saying, based on the Fearless Girl statue, I would argue based on the recklessness and idiocy and greed that takes place on Wall Street every day, that's sort of...
They go hand in hand, but you can't say that.
But okay, but that's sort of what's taken away the positive optimism. Okay. "Clearly, a deliberate choice was made to exploit and to appropriate the charging bull through the replacement of the Fearless Girl. The work is incomplete without Mr. Demotica's charging bull, and as such, it constitutes a derivative work. The statue of the girl..." Which, by the way, we can have a whole conversation about that. Derivative work is sort of the mode of the era in a lot of ways, to remix, to take something and change its meaning by adding a piece to it. Memes, those are derivative works. That is sort of the era which you can make a case for or against that, but that is something.
What's the thing that they do when you make reference to something in film? They do it, homage.
Yeah, well, same thing, this right? Well, no, not the same thing, because an homage is like, say you're replicating a shot from A Clockwork Orange in, you know, your Judd Apatow movie. And it's supposed to be something like you're paying respect, kind of like a nod to that thing. Yeah, but that's not a derivative.
Oh, okay.
That's different. "The statue of the girl, hands on her hips, only becomes fearless because of the much larger, aggressive bull. Principle trumps popularity, and there are principles here. The fact that people want gender diversity and equality, great. But you've got to put that in context of certain rights. If we get to the point or forgetting those basic principles, we're out in Never Never Land." Now, Mayor Bill de Blasio says the Fearless Girl is a symbol of standing up to fear, standing up to power, and doing what's right. Arthur Piccolo, who's the chairman of the Bowling Green Association — Bowling Green is the area where the bull statue is — he says this is absolutely a commercial. It's a story that went around the world, referring to the Fearless Girl statue. Now, at odds here, because I think Demotica has a point.
It has a valid point.
Based on this, not necessarily. We can argue about the rest of it, which you will. But 1999 copyright statute grants visual artists the right to prevent any intentional distortion, mutilation, or modification of that work, which would... what the hell is that? Oh, which would be prejudicial to the artist's reputation. So... okay, I think that based on that, I think he's got a case. But as far as him not wanting the other statue to be there, take the fact that it's a fucking, you know, it's a corporate stunt to have the girl there. Just as a work, I'm for it. I'm for them putting the Fearless Girl there, because, like it or not, that is a reality of art. That is something that, in my opinion, is okay to happen, and is something that does happen quite a bit nowadays, where you take something that once symbolized something, by adding another thing to it, you've created a new piece and you've changed the meaning.
And it's not like this is going into facing the Mona Lisa to make a point. This is a public statue. It's sitting there for everyone to see, and it's part of the world around us. Yeah. And also, this is a man, he's trying to say, "Oh, this is what my statue stands for." Art is up for interpretation.
Right.
And the modern view of your art is not good.
Maybe for a percentage, but
yeah, right. I mean, it represents Wall Street, and Wall Street is not viewed favorably right now.
Right.
And meanings change. Art changes. It's a living thing, and this is just the way it goes.
But he, as being the living artist who created the ball, whatever his intentions were, they're being altered by an undisclosed party. Like, that little girl, fact of being her, and he's right, or the lawyer is right, whoever said that statement is right. The meaning of the bowl changes, and the girl by itself loses all its meaning. So the girl is feeding off of that original artist's right. interpretation, which is wrong.
Well, is it wrong? It just changes it. Should that be, I mean, again, based on the statute, he probably has a case. But as far as just generally having the discussion about it, why is that not okay? Why is that not okay? That feels like the times we're living in, right? Like Matt just said, the Wall Street has obviously gone awry in recent years, and I think is a big issue. Gender diversity, female empowerment, all these types of things, they've made a big comeback in terms of, you know, just the culture and just kind of the way things are and the way people are looking at things now. So what's wrong with that? What is wrong with reinterpreting the piece, that, in my opinion, which is what is happening there? Now, I hate the fact that it's a fucking financial group that put the thing down there as a commercial for themselves. That pisses me off. So in that regard, I hope it gets fucking taken away. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Banksy. I'm a big fan of, you know, Shepard Fairey. Got people that do these, like, they take propaganda, essentially, and repurpose it. And they do all this. And Banksy with his, you know, Dismaland. That's Disneyland. He's so... That is in some ways a derivative thing, but it's reinterpreting it and reinterpreting that. That is always what art is, because really, if you really want to get into it, every piece of art is derivative because it's not the thought itself. It's a representation of a thought. So that in and of itself is derivative to an extent. And that's taking it to a
top of my head,
but whatever. Okay.
So here's the other thing.
There are some people that think that even human language is, maybe not morally, but it's like that is a bastardization of the universe and of whatever the power is, the God, because you're putting a human interpretation on stuff that is not able to be explained in any way. That takes it to like a way far extreme. But it's the same thing with art. Art in and of itself is just a representation of a bigger idea, whatever.
So, all right. So let's bring it back to Earth for a second.
Sure.
So the permit is only until 2018.
All right.
So should we say, you know what, he can suck it up to 2018, but after 2018, she's gone? Or do we want to have the argument that it is such a profound piece that she should eternally be there, be placed?
No. Well, I mean, I can't take the financial element out of it. I think it should just be taken down now. I'd like to see it come down. But assuming, say it was just you did it and you put it down there and got a permit. Yeah, I think it should stay. Why not? What's wrong with it?
Here's my question for you.
You can look at the bull without looking at the girl. Stand in front of the girl.
Yes, but you can look at the girl and not think that it's a corporate advertisement. I don't think
But you're wrong. I know, but they're wrong, though.
Where the plaque's not there anymore, right?
I don't know if the plaque's still there or not, but it doesn't matter. It's still a fucking, that is who put it there. So know that that's the other difference, though. This guy's a legitimate artist that did something, created it, and it was put down there. This is a stunt. You know what I mean? The fearless girl thing is a stunt. It's just trying to cap. It's like it's the Kendall Jenner Pepsi commercial. That's really what it is. It's like these millennials love protests. They love gender. They love
like little girls.
They like strong women. You know, that's what they're doing. So
for you, the fact this corporate does entirely taint it for you. There's no good message that you think comes out of it. There's nothing.
No.
Okay.
No. I also think it's I think it's funny that it becomes a symbol for, you know, women empowerment and whatever, but it's a little girl. It's like a little girl with pigtails or like her hands on her hips and whatever. Like, it couldn't just be a woman or like just a little
A businesswoman?
Yeah, or anything. You know what I mean? So it's like it's sort of it's gender infantilizing women anyway to an extent, right?
Yeah, it's just the other way with it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't get that. I think it's more like the artistic end side of things, I don't necessarily take much of an issue with. It's the corporatization that I think is the real issue. I think you're reading too much into it by thinking, oh, it's a child, not a full woman.
But also, here's another aspect of it. Why is the only power a woman can have represented as standing up or like being involved in a quote man's world on Wall Street and being involved in like the business world? That's not the only power she could have. right? Her power could be petting the bull, calming the bull down, right? As opposed to, I don't want to be part of the world, but I can, you know, like temper it. There's different ways that that could have been represented. I get what they're doing, but I personally don't like the fact that it's like a financial institution. What, you know?
I mean, I think you have to represent the in some way a equal force that can stand up to it, not just a force that okay, I can hear, I can be try to steer it, but I can't really be part of it. I think that you can't.
Well, in real life, the bull would kill that girl. You know, so that's so it's an interpretive thing. Anyway,
oh my god,
like that little girl is not going to. Yes, the girl might be fearless, but she's gonna get killed.
No. The Ottoman question is she wearing something red? And if she's not, then she's fine.
I assume she would be. Is that the point that, well, listen, women can try, but they are going to get killed.
Yes.
If they really want to stand up to power, they're going to get killed. So anyway.
Not the message that we're trying to send, Chris.
No. Well, you know, you interpret things how you want. Well, let me ask you this.
For interpretation.
What, exactly. Right. Like piss Christ. Are people going to, like, Giuliani wanted to have piss Christ taken. That's just a crucifix in a jar of urine. That an artist put it was in a. In
right, a let's not talk about
Google
that again.
Giuliani wanted to take it. That's it's blasphemous. All right, yeah, but to you, to me, it's just a fucking piece of wood in a glass of urine. You know, a glass of urine. It doesn't matter. That's not Jesus, idiot. That's a. It's a symbol. It's like when people get mad when the flag gets burned. It's just a fucking flag. It's not America. They didn't burn down America, dummy.
It's freedom of speech.
Yeah. Did you see Piss Christ?
Yeah, but I mean, how big is it? It's just. I mean, I'm just. This is a picture I'm looking at. Even though you can't
see. Oh, well, that's a close-up of the jar. Yeah. It's a pretty big jar.
It's a big jar of piss. So, yeah, not, so more than one
Who was the artist again?
Andrew Serrano.
Yes. Google that.
And Andres.
Okay. So Andres. Google, it's just Piss Christ. You'll see it. It's pretty obvious. All right. Anyway, so good discussion on that. We'll keep our eye on it. Fuck the financial institution that put the fearless girl there. Demotica, I mean, I respect him. I feel bad to an extent for him, but also I am, you know, I'm of the mindset I like being able to manipulate another image based on another, you know, that's what it is. That's Warhol, that's all that stuff, you know what I mean? It's a lot of that, where the more derivative it becomes, the more important it is, you know what I mean? It's all art. It's all, you know, you can't get pissed off that somebody else saw your thing. He's just annoyed. What about a bear? Why not put a bear there too? Right? Well, how come somebody doesn't get a bear down there?
Jesus, now you want this little girl mauled by a bear, too? You're
she's
talking about how this
dead,
girl died.
She's screwed. She's not going to make it.
What if we give her a gun?
You saw The Revenant. What?
What if we give her a gun?
Well, the NRA should get involved. This is going to be great. You're going to go down there in 5 years. This is going to be like a stack of fucking metal and all these statues and shit. Yeah. Yeah, but why not, right? That's what we're dealing with. Yeah. At least you're getting involved in the conversation. Anyway.
But what kind of bear is it? Is it a grizzly bear? Is it a polar bear?
Well, it's hibernating because that's the whole idea, right? A bear market versus a bull market. The bear is less aggressive.
Joe, are you saying it's got to be a polar bear? You can't have a black bear on Wall Street? Is that what you're trying to say?
Wow. Great point, Matt. Great
oh,
point.
Good God.
It's a great point. You're fucked up, Joey.
Yeah. Really.
I want it to be like a very cartoony bear that's like on its back feet just kind of.
How about Yogi?
It's a Yogi and Boo.
If it's Yogi with a basket?
Yeah.
And then you have a picnic basket.
With a rope around the bull. Yeah. We can really figure this out. Okay. So we'll keep our eye on that. We'll see what happens with the statue situation. Here's something I want to get into. This is the last thing we're going to talk about before we get to the Trump odds and ends and finish the program with that delightful Bill O'Reilly clip, which is, if you haven't heard it, you're in for quite a treat. And if you have heard it, you're still going to love it. Mike Pompeo, the CIA director, last week, he's a religious extremist, by the way. I want to keep pointing that out, that he's a holy war type of guy.
That he is not a career intelligence person.
Yeah, he's a
political appointee.
Yeah, he was a congressman, very religious. Okay. He branded WikiLeaks a, quote, hostile intelligence service last week. And I have his full quote in the email we're going to read. We got a quote from Julian Assange as well. But this is from Mike Pompeo, who's our current CIA director. He says, WikiLeaks walks like a hostile intelligence service and talks like a hostile intelligence service. Meanwhile, Trump was praising WikiLeaks up and down for months and months in the campaign.
Because they were helping him win.
Well. Yeah, the things that came out helped him win, potentially. Mm. But it doesn't mean WikiLeaks was helping him win. It has encouraged its followers to find jobs at CIA in order to obtain intelligence. And it overwhelmingly focuses on the United States while seeking support from anti-democratic countries and organizations. It is time to call out WikiLeaks for what it really is, a non-state hostile intelligence service often abetted by state actors like Russia. Assange and his ilk make common cause with dictators today. Yes, they try unsuccessfully to cloak themselves and their actions in the language of liberty and privacy. In reality, however, they champion nothing but their own celebrity. Their currency is clickbait. Their moral compass, non-existent. Yeah, Assange is getting rich, just wasting away in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, but yeah.
Super rich.
Assange responded in a Washington Post editorial days later. And now this is a little bit longer, but I think it's important to hear Assange. Because I always talk about this. Assange is always referenced in the abstract. Oh, Julian Assange did this, WikiLeaks did this. But Assange is very clear when he says things. And you can choose to believe him or not. That's up to you. But most of the time when I hear what Assange has to say, I go, yeah, that makes sense. What is that? What is that whistling?
It's me breathing. I apologize.
Can you go?
I thought that was me for a second.
I did too. I was like, what am I having an asthma attack? What's going on?
Is my nose clogged? I don't think so.
Are they listening?
That was me. Hello?
All right. So this is Julian Assange in his Washington Post editorial in response to Mike Pompeo. The truths we publish are inconvenient for those who seek to avoid one of the magnificent hallmarks of American life, public debate. Governments assert that WikiLeaks reporting harms security. Some claim that publishing facts about military and national security malfeasance is a greater problem than the malfeasance itself. Yet, as Eisenhower emphasized, only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together. All right. Quite simply, our motive is identical to that claimed by the New York Times and the Post to publish newsworthy content. Consistent with the U.S. Constitution, we publish material that we can confirm to be true, irrespective of whether sources came by that truth legally or have the right to release it to the media. Now, that's the sticking point for people, where I think they go, well, that's crazy. So if he's getting it from Russia and they hacked the United States, then that information's bad. No, the information is still the information. You might not like how that information came to be, but it's still accurate as long as it's not a lie. Why it's not bad. It's not inherently bad or good.
It's just the
truth. It's what it is. It's information. It's real information. And we strive to mitigate legitimate concerns, for example, by using redaction to protect the identities of at-risk intelligence agents, which is true. That's been put out a lot where it's like, WikiLeaks gets us killed. No, they don't. There's been no evidence that that's the case. I skip ahead a little bit. These are the last couple of paragraphs. He goes, vested interests deflect from the facts that WikiLeaks publishes by demonizing its brave staff and me. We are mischaracterized as America-hating servants to hostile foreign powers. But in fact, I harbor an overwhelming admiration for both America and the idea of America. WikiLeaks' sole interest is expressing constitutionally protected truths, which I remain convinced is the cornerstone of the United States' remarkable liberty, success, and greatness. I have given up years of my own liberty for the risks we have taken at WikiLeaks to bring truth to the public. I take some solace in this. Joseph Pulitzer, namesake of Journalism's Award for Excellence, was indicted in 1909 for publishing allegedly libelous information about President Theodore Roosevelt and his financier, J.P. Morgan, in the Panama Canal corruption scandal. It was the truth that set him free. Now, thoughts on this? Because I figure, Matt, me and you are going to have a little bit of a disagreement about this situation, but so you go first.
So, I mean, I do agree with what he says there, and I'm not in line to trust Pompeo. I would say, though, that in regards to his comments, that yes, if you're going to be a journalistic organization, everything you say can be true, but you have to understand the editorial burden you have as well, that there is an editorial aspect. If you just publish everything blindly, you're still sending a message, and you can still be controlled.
Well, define publish blindly. What do you mean?
If you just publish whatever you receive, then you become the servant to, if Russia is just feeding you information, you become their servant, whether it's willingly or not. And there's an editorial burden to, we should look at WikiLeaks in the same light that we look at any journalistic group. You can say that everything coming to you from a site like Red State or ShareBlue or whatever, you can say that what they're saying is factually true, but still has a bias. And we should be looking at them, if they want to be a journalistic organization, we should scrutinize them like a journalistic organization and don't let them just become a pawn of the Russian state.
Right, but again, here's the thing. They don't just put out whatever they get. They vet that material. They redact names, like he said. They are putting it out in a country where I think the clamoring is there's too much bias, this left, right, you know, all this stuff. Everybody's on a team. This is something that's not on a team. They're putting out the information. You interpret that information how you see fit. We don't actually want that. We want people to put it into a package for us, which is kind of what, not that you believe that, but kind of what you're saying is that there needs to be that. Otherwise, people are not going to be able to interpret information and they can then be misled based on the information as it stands on its own.
Well, and I think you, there's a chance that they accidentally became part of a team because they, if you don't, if you're being fed stuff by an anonymous source and that anonymous source,
well,
is
it's
part
anonymous
of a team.
To us. He's not yes. an anonymous source to them. They don't reveal their sources. We don't know who they're getting the information from.
And we and there's a chance they don't necessarily know their sources' motives. If they're getting inundated with
yeah, but
all
that
this,
but okay, see, but there's always the question: why does that matter?
Because it biases the conversation.
No, it doesn't.
The election was changed by the fact that you got one side information coming out, even if it didn't have anything significant in it. It changed the conversation.
I don't think that that is what. First of all, here's what changed the election. Number one, Hillary was not a likable candidate. Number one. Number two, Trump was willing to say anything to anyone at any given time. It wasn't called out appropriately by our corporate media that supposedly vets information and whatever. Plus, Comey coming out a week before the election and going, we got these new emails. That's what fucked the election up.
Yeah,
it's not the Russia disclosure, you know, the WikiLeaks disclosures.
But going back to the Comey thing, that...
The WikiLeaks disclosures are the goddamn... Panetta, not Panetta, fucking, what's his face? I can't think of it.
Podesta
emails. Jesus, I'm blanking on the other one, but it was the, DC leaks was, that was the shit that was more damaging. The WikiLeaks stuff was not, I don't think. But regardless, none of the information was false.
But my point is, the same thing can be said about the Comey comments. Nothing was false. Like, everything there was true. But just saying something, even if it's, harmless, or it seems harmless, has an edit. It changes the conversation.
Here's the difference. When WikiLeaks puts out the information, they put out literally all of the information. They're putting out.
It's just
all
dump, it's dumping. It's
right. Okay, but all right. So, but they're putting out all the information. The problem with Comey was he didn't bother to say in that letter most of it is duplicates. It's probably going to be nothing. That would have changed the context of that letter completely, which ended up being the case. In fact, it has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. That was the problem. He wrote a letter making it seem like they found new shit when, in fact, they had just found more emails that were already they had already looked through. They were duplicates. That's the difference. So that changed the context by him not putting out all the information. WikiLeaks is putting out all the information without context.
All the information they have, their sources can still withhold the information if they want to bias the conversation to one side. So if Russia has both the Democratic emails and the Republican emails, if they want to hurt the Democratic ones, they leak those to WikiLeaks. They hold on to the stuff that they don't want out. That's how you actually can shift the conversation by a partial dump.
Yeah, but he said, though, Assange said, and I take him at his word, that they had stuff about the Democrats, too, but it was already out. It was already being reported. So why would they put it out? It was already out.
About the Republicans, you said about the Democrats.
No, I'm saying they... Oh, right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Right.
I mean, but I'm saying they might not have all the information.
Yeah, but they're not required to have all the information. Does the Washington Post have all the information?
They do.
All the time.
They try... Before they publish a story, they do have the burden to try to track down... To the best of their ability to track down all the information.
Right, and WikiLeaks is not doing that.
They're not really tracking things down. They're depending on sources. And I'm just saying we should have the same scrutiny, and they want to be taken on the same level as New York Times and the Washington Post.
Well, he didn't really say that he wants to be taken on the same level. He said we have the same mission.
Okay, but we should treat him like a journalistic organization, and I don't think he's built that same level of trust yet. I think it's too early to judge where he'll be seen in history as if I don't know where it's gonna be at the end of the day.
Well, do you think that they are a hostile intelligence service? That they are a non-state hostile intelligence service abetted by state actors like Russia?
I cannot say definitively. I can see how he could easily be manipulated. How it is possible?
But can you also see how the CIA director can manipulate us as well?
Yes, and I'm trying to avoid being just manipulated. I'm trying to scrutinize all the information coming at me.
That's the problem, man. It's like the, you know, it's easier for Pompeo to get away with this shit because he's one of our, he's our guy. He's in the United States.
He's trusted because he's American. He's a congressman.
Yeah.
Therefore, he's an upstanding
but
citizen.
But he's a fucking, he's in the CIA. That's been known.
The CIA has never done anything wrong. What are you suggesting, Chris? They've never done anything shady.
Well, right. I mean, you know what I mean? Like the covert operation and all that shit. It's like, that's where it comes from. And like, this guy's the head of that. So, you know, to just take him at his word or whatever, it's a difference of opinion. And also, I do understand why Pompeo wouldn't like WikiLeaks. Sure. But WikiLeaks isn't working for the United States or for Russia. It is its own thing. It is working for humanity generally. Because the information that they put out, people always go, well, they're always attacking the United States. Really? Because if you go on WikiLeaks.org and you go to all leaks, you can go through and they have stuff about German inquiry exhibits, the HB Gary emails, Yemen files, as I'm scrolling through, the Turkey emails. They have Saudi cables, like Trans-Pacific Partnership. Remember that? Yeah, yes. WikiLeaks is putting out that information. So that's the problem. You know what I mean? German NSA inquiry. Yeah, they're looking into all of this stuff.
But so part of the, I mean, one of the reasons that questions have been drawn about them is, as I recall, there's pretty much nothing about Russia from them, right? Am I off base there?
Well, I guess they don't have a specific leak dedicated. I mean, I'm scrolling through kind of as we're looking. I guess they don't have a specific leak dedicated to like information coming out of Russia, but Russia, of course, appears in numerous leaks. It's not like they're not putting stuff out. If you look through the Turkey stuff, if you look through, you know, a lot of the stuff on here.
But nothing particularly damaging against Russia.
I'd be lying if I said I knew everything that was on there about Russia. But right. But I mean, okay. I mean, again, that's still the conversation.
I'm not trying to say that they are a hostile organization. I'm trying to say we should scrutinize them.
Yeah, no, and I think that's fine. But I think it's also important to listen to what Assange says about those things. You know, like it's one thing to say we should scrutinize them, but then to never accept anything that they say, that's also a problem. Because now you're taking to a level that you wouldn't hold anything to.
Well, yes, and it's also important to say that everything that comes out does seem to be true. So that's the first hurdle of the scrutiny.
Right.
Secondly,
which the New York Times, the Post, all these, the CIA, they can't make that claim that everything they've ever put out has been true. It's not true.
Yes. Well, I mean, also journalistic organizations are going with the facts that they have in front of them. And a good one is willing to make a retraction.
But you know,
retractions are important.
They are important, but a retraction is oftentimes a little too late, because once you put the information out there, people hear the first story and that's the end of it. You said a minute ago that like
mistakes
that WikiLeaks
happen.
Should wait. If they don't have equal information or whatever, they should wait to put it up. But then why doesn't the Washington Post or the Times have to appear to that standard, in your opinion? I get it.
It's just different types of news.
Is it? Why is it different types of news? Wouldn't you rather, in some ways, the reporters, like, instead of writing an article about what they saw, just actually put out all the information they saw?
Well, as you said, the New York Times is trying to contextualize the information.
Right.
WikiLeaks is just putting out raw information.
Raw in the sense of they're not putting it in context, but they do go through it and vet it. But right.
Yeah. It's just a dump of information. Yeah. And the New York Times is trying to process that information and find what is actually important and what is significant in this information.
Right. Well, and you know, but listen though, here's the other aspect of it. WikiLeaks puts it out publicly. It's on their website. Everything's still there. You can go look at it. And the New York Times and everything, the Washington Post, they can look through it. They are more than welcome to sift through it and write their contextual pieces about it. And that's the whole point. Well, WikiLeaks is not necessarily easy stuff to sift through. You got to really want to be looking for something, or you have to have an organization like that to look through it and put it into context.
But so I guess the ultimate difference is that because it's just a dump of papers that have been collected over time, it is things that have already happened. There's less of an urgent need to publish now to get the facts out there. And that's why there's more of the ability to make sure you're 100% correct. And why WikiLeaks doesn't need to issue retractions, because they do have time to vet that. Whereas the New York Times or the Washington Post, an actual newspaper, they're doing things more as they happen. So facts might change and they might get faulty information from, I mean, look at Sean Spicer. He tells them, oh, this ship is going to North Korea.
Right.
Of course, the New York Times is going to say that.
Right. There you go. So now here's another part of the argument. What's more damaging? No, thinking for 2 weeks that the USS Carl Vinson is heading to North Korea and then you find out it's not, they have to take the word of power at a certain point. Whereas WikiLeaks does not have to do that.
Well, and this is why I'm saying there is a difference between the organizations and why it's it's okay for the New York Times to say I'm going to issue this retraction and make that that's allowable when it's when you the things have already settled, when the dust is cleared, and that's where WikiLeaks is coming in well after the events. So there's less ability. The facts aren't changing. Then you know what's happening, and you have more responsibility.
Well, but by definition, though, they're not going to change because they're not. It's not a matter of they have to figure out what the facts are. They literally have the documents. They have the first person authentic documents. So as long as those are real documents, then the facts are have to be by the nature of what the thing is. The facts have to be correct. They're never going to have to retract anything unless the documents are false, which they're not.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they're just going off primary sources.
So you know, so a little bit and. You know, the news organizations in this country are at a disadvantage because they have to rely on the word of people that are in the administration, in the government. You can't know, like when Pompeo says something, they go, well, can you back that up? Well, I can't talk about it. It's classified. Well, okay, that's where WikiLeaks fills that gap because I don't accept that. I don't accept that you can't tell me how you came to that because I don't believe you because you've never been, it's never been a situation where the United States has always been 100% honest with the public and open about everything. It's nonsense. So that's why I think WikiLeaks is so valuable. They fill in the gaps between what the administration or the people in power say versus what gets put out in the, you know, in the news and in journalistic outfits. Like they are filling in the gaps there.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah, I agree with you. And the issue becomes when they become the main story rather than like it's great to use them to it has to be contextualized,
right?
And it's dangerous when you try to when you assume there has to be something important in every dump. There has to be a story here.
Well, but who's assuming that? That's the other aspect too. I feel like a lot of which is why I like hearing from Assange himself. He was on the Intercepted podcast, by the way. Jeremy Scahill from the Intercept. He interviewed him. That's where some of those quotes came from. It's important to hear what Assange has to say because our media, especially our television media, makes Assange the story as opposed to what is put out. Like he said in that, you know, what's worse? Hold on, let me get the exact quote because I don't want to. Some claim that publishing facts about military and national security malfeasance is a greater problem than the malfeasance itself. Right. That's the argument. You know, do you really think that it's worse for Assange to tell us that our government is doing these things, or the fact that our government is actually doing these things? Well, and it seems like the story always becomes, well, this fucking guy fucked up our military. Yeah, but look what they're doing. Do you want them doing this?
In those regards, I'm 100% on Assange's side in that quote. Like, right. I'm 100% on his side.
That's the thing, man. Every time I hear him say something, I go, yeah, I agree with that. Right. I rarely go, eh. I agree with most of what I hear the guy say. Whether he is upholding those standards, fine, you're right. You know, I guess it has to remain to be seen. But generally, when he says something, I go, yeah, that's right. And it seems like that's what he's doing. So,
and I'm very curious to see how history views Julian Assange.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, he's a young man still, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, granted, unfortunately, we won't really be able to judge him until 40, 50 years down the road.
Yeah, until somebody WikiLeaks him. Yeah. Joe, you got any thoughts on this? I mean, we had a pretty good conversation there about it.
But wasn't great. Great conversation. The only thing I want to say is he is a fantastic editor. He knows how to bring a point to the table, how to discuss that point, and how to back it up.
Yeah.
So in terms of his editorial prowess, holy shit, he has one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. That's what also makes it interesting. He's a fascinating character. You know, he's like a Bond villain. he's a very interesting guy. And, you know, by the way, you know, this is just off the top of my head. Where's Eddie Snowden been? I feel like we haven't heard much from him.
I mean, he's still in Russia, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's usually involved in the conversation on Twitter and he gets involved in the stuff. I mean, maybe I'm just missing it, but I feel like we haven't heard a lot from him lately.
Well, sometimes it's best not to rattle the cage too much.
Yeah, I mean, that's really true. With Trump in office, you're right. All right. Again, just an interesting conversation.
Because I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that said that Trump's buddy-buddy with a bunch of people. So if they wanted to get Snowden
in Russia? Again, no.
Yeah. That
Trump's not friends with anybody in Russia.
That they might be able to ship him over. So he might try to be on the DL for at least
maybe, but he has immunity, though. He has immunity for now. Not immunity, whatever. Asylum.
Yeah,
that could change overnight, but that could go bye-bye quick.
Maybe. We'll see.
I don't think he's moving without very solid
right
protections.
All right. Trump odds and ends, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yes.
The Trump administration is no longer considering separating women and children at the U.S.-Mexico border as a means of deterring their migration, according to a Department of Homeland Security spokeswoman. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
That only makes sense. Policy,
so they're not going to do that. Now, I want to say this. 1,125 children and their guardians, mostly women, were apprehended at the U.S.-Mexico border in March. That is a 93% drop since December. Okay. The apprehensions are at a 17-year low. They only apprehended 16,600 people.
Trump, baby. Trump effect.
You're right. I think it is. Why do we need to build a wall then? If this tone, this shift in tone and some deportations is what's done this, why are we going to build a wall?
Because that number there is 16,600, and the wall is going to make it zero.
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
Because zero.
People can't climb a wall.
Right, or dig under it.
I mean, I'm curious. I'm not sure if it's because...
Yeah, what is with the drop? Because I feel like it's too easy that that's what it was. What happened? What's going on?
I have two theories, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
It's either because they think there is a threat of this wall and there is all this talk and that's scaring them away. Or perhaps they're just looking at Trump's America and just saying, fuck, I don't want to get the fuck... I'm staying the fuck away there. I'm staying in Honduras and Venezuela.
Yeah.
Or maybe there is a economic downturn where such services are going not to be required. So why are you going to go to a country that's not going to be able to find you work?
Yeah, I mean, that's possible too. I mean, I think it is a rhetoric tone. He is deporting... you know, he's just kind of randomly deporting people that should be protected for the most part, and he's sending them out. So, I don't know. We'll see where it goes, but certainly there has been a drop, and I guess you do have to kind of give Trump credit for that. But again, then why is this
zero?
I know, but the wall becomes a questionable thing where you go, okay, you stopped 93% of it.
No, you're going to stop 100% of it.
Well, these are apprehensions. They had 16,000 apprehensions.
That even means that 20,000 more than got across without being known.
Yeah, well, we don't know. Well, right, I mean, you don't know. But.
I mean, I'm assuming some got in safe. Plenty got in safely. I'm assuming.
Isn't that funny, right? The apprehensions are down because people are just getting in so easily. He's just failing miserably. It's happening. The president is considering privatizing America's airports and dams as part of a possibly $1 trillion plus infrastructure program, which here we go. We'll see. And we'll see how quickly the Democrats get on board with shit like this.
See, to me,
yeah, privatize everything. Perfect. Perfect.
Privatizing might not be that bad of an idea.
It is.
Because Philip Howard, a lawyer and advocate for government simplification, noted, experience shows that private operators actually do a better job for customers as well as for efficiency's sake, end quotes, than the government.
Okay? Yeah, like the guy on the United flight. The point about that whole thing, that's why you need consumer protections. And that's why you need somebody going, yeah, you can't overbook a plane. Why does that even make sense? So people can go to the airport and then not be able to fly? They bought a ticket. That's why you need that type of shit. That's why you need government involved in this stuff. If you're just going to go, hey, United, you own a fucking airport now. Have fun with that. See how well you'll be able to... you know, have your grievances heard in a situation like that. Well, then you got to sue them.
Well, one argument for the usage of private industry would be that the industry would be able to relocate and have access to more funds than a government-run institution would. The question would become then...
I guess. I mean, but what if... okay, what if like a super religious organization buys an airport? Your airport that you use, that you need to travel in. And they don't like X, Y, and Z, and you can't travel with it, and they ban it. Well, it's a private airport now. What are you going to do?
I think ultimately you have to have very strong... if you're going to do this, you have to have very strong restrictions on... you can't discriminate. These are things
you
can't...
but they're not going to do... you know they're not going to do that. That's what we've seen repeatedly with corporations and whatever. They're not trying to do what's best for the consumer. They're trying to do the bare minimum for the consumer that still allows them to stay in business and make the most money possible.
It's about doing the best for their stockholders, not the best for the people.
Right, and I'd rather not just say, yeah, the thing that you need... like, yeah, I guess you could drive to California, but you're going to fly there. I don't need that to be something that is completely controlled, because look what's happening with the airlines themselves. You get on a fucking flight, tiny seats, you're cramped, there's like shitty situation, there's no plugs. That's because they can get away with it, because they run that. But they don't run the airport, so the airport's a little bit of a different story. Okay, TSA, all that shit, which of course I have issues with. But that's the thing. If you're just going to cede that control to the dams, do you really want the same people that like let things deteriorate? You want them controlling the dams?
Question for you.
When there's no real profit motive with a dam, right? What's the profit motive there? How are they? They're going to have to find a way to make money on a dam. What is the how? How are they going to do that? What are they going to advertise on? Are you going to get the fucking Nesquik Hoover Dam?
People go to the dam to take a look at it.
It's because it's a park service. It's a national thing. You go. You just go there. I went there. You didn't pay for shit. You paid for parking. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's it. You just drive up to it. Now it's going to be the type of thing where what? You're going to have to pay $30 to get in and whatever. It goes to whoever owns the fucking dam. I don't want that. I don't want
at
that.
At the end of the...
It's the same thing about the parks and the... You know.
At the end of the day, every argument comes down to how is the money being spent?
Yeah, but...
So if it could be a more efficient way by putting somebody else's name on it, maybe... Maybe John Deere can do a better job with the airport or transportation than the government can. That's all I'm saying. The question then becomes is what is the incentive of that private corporation to accept the responsibility of taking care of that said piece of property?
Yeah, better situation. Define better job. They might be able to save money. They're going to fucking find a way to save money, make money, be more efficient. The problem is that's at the expense of the person, the people using it, because you're over the barrel. It's not like it's a goddamn Best Buy or a PC Richards. You can choose whichever one you... There's an airport. You have to go to the airport. What are you going to do? So if you don't like the way that airport's being run and they treat the people shitty, but you're over the barrel because you have to go to it. It's a dam. What are you going to build a different dam? You have to deal with the dam. No, but you know what I mean?
You're pretty good with the
dam. I get what you're saying. You're right. It will be more efficient in probably in some ways. But the reason it's going to be more efficient is because they don't have to provide, they don't have any accountability to you then anymore.
I think the easiest argument for infrastructure is just look at a public road. You have to use the road. The road is required for society.
No, you don't. You can wander through the woods, loser.
I mean, society depends.
I fly. I haven't walked in 13 years. I'm carried around for the most part. What? No, you're not. We see you walking right there.
Walking through the rough trying to get his golf balls.
Fake news. Okay.
But so the public roads are required.
Trump thinks a report about him walking is fake news. Good.
So if you're going to put a toll booth there for a corporation to collect all the money, that money, that's basically money to say, oh, you have to fix the roads. It's your responsibility now. But you can collect, do with the money at what you see fit. They're going to collect that money and pocket most of it.
Absolutely.
It's much more efficient to just put a toll booth there and say, okay, this money's coming to the government, and it's essentially another form of tax, but at the same time, there's no middleman to pay. It's going straight to the... You're cutting... It all does, when you try to privatize infrastructure, is create a middleman who's not incentivized at all to use that for actual improvements.
Agreed. They're going to cut corners, for sure.
Well, yeah, the government... Government's
the first thing they do with the pipelines, all the shit, they cut safety inspections. That's the first thing they do. They're like, what can we get away with? Because what ends up being more cost efficient? Is it allowing a leak or a break once in a while and fixing that in the short term or paying a fine? Or is keeping up with it and keep making sure that that's not going to happen? Which one is more expensive? It's the second one. So that's why they let shit happen. Sometimes they go, well, so what? So we'll spill some oil. We'll build that into the budget. Not a big deal.
How can we totally dick over the public?
That's the problem. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Yeah, private companies, whatever, can be more efficient. Of course. Because they have less to worry about. They have less shit to be responsible for. They're responsible for their own thing. That's why you don't, something that is of national interest, you don't privatize it. Because it's all of us that are going to be affected by it. And then we can address that by going to our congressperson or our senator or our government or whatever. Or our tax dollar. You know, like, that's the thing. And we have control over the government, theoretically at least.
And anything where it's where it would be in the private interest to screw over the public to make a profit should not be privatized. Look at schools, prisons, roads,
healthcare. Right.
Yes, those things should. I mean, military.
Well, yeah. I mean, shit. Yeah,
Rome fell when it went to mercenaries.
That's the last thing you would want to do.
Dude, I lose my mind every time I see a goddamn Marines commercial. Hey, Stop spending my fucking tax money on goddamn ads for the military.
I'm more concerned about my tax money going to Eric Prince.
Yeah, well, don't do that. That's don't hit a doorknob topic here.
I'm just saying Blackwater and Mercenary.
Yeah, no, I know. We can get into that next week potentially. But anyway, okay. So we'll see what happens. But I guarantee the Democrats get on board with this shit though, because they don't care either.
No, they don't like privatization of anything.
Well, like, so here's my question. So if we're gonna go on the premise that it's all about the stockholders. So maybe instead of trying to, like, maybe you change the world by trying to find out who the stockholders are and speaking to them then.
Speaking to them in what way? What do you mean?
To everybody hold hands and sing Kumbaya?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work.
Okay.
All right. Good conversation. Listen, we're going to end the show with this Bill O'Reilly clip. Mm-hmm. God rest him. This is a great clip. Samsonites, we love you. Thank you for listening to the program. You can go on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe, rate, review. Really appreciate it. It helps us out. And I like reading them. It makes me happy. You can also go on soundcloud.com/mandatorySamson. You can follow us on there. You can also leave a comment on the episode. So like when I'm saying this right now, if you have something to say about what I'm saying right now, you can leave a comment right now on there. And I'll go, oh, that's what this person's referencing. Perfect. It's fun. I have little conversations during the week with people. You can also, on all social media platforms, find me at Mansamp, MANSAMP. Joey is at Joey from Jersey. Jersey is spelled with a Z. I apologize ahead of time for Joey. He retweets too much. He doesn't put out a lot of his own personal tweets, but we're working on it.
Oh, God. Wow.
It's just too much retweets. And Matt, he doesn't tweet anything. But
I tweeted twice this week. Thank you very much.
Oh, I didn't see it. I'll have to go check it out. If you guys want to check it out, it's at Matt D. Weiss. You can see what he has to say. We love you. Thank you very much. We're going to be back next episode. And to play us out, we're going to have a clip of Bill O'Reilly getting confused about the phrase to play us out. We'll talk to you guys next week.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but okay. Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay. Ready? Sure.
There's no words there. To play us out. What does that mean? To play us out.
It's Sting is going to do. It's a video. Sting video.
What is
for credits?
I don't know what that means. To play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Go. Go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is a.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a. I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
No, we out.